everyone. This is Chuck Reagan, and you are now checking out The Grind with Stacy Steele.
That's right, another Grind PRC coming at you on Punk Rock Radio. Chris here once again with a new volume for you today, number 156. And along with Stacy's extensive conversation with Chuck Reagan, we also have a few from the mailbox features that we'll be including in the first half of the show. Over the summer, we have definitely slowed down in terms of new shows. A lot of that, honestly, is my fault. I just haven't had the free time to put towards this project lately, and I have also succumbed to the awareness that summer is a fleeting season here in Canada. So as one of us recently posted on The Grind's Facebook page, we're slowing down the speed of The Grind for a little while to enjoy the warm weather while it lasts. My thanks to Marcus and Stacy for keeping the post going on Facebook during my time unplugged from the Matrix. Thanks to Dan, Joe, and the rest of the Punk Rock Radio crew in Australia. And of course, a big A goes out to all of you for tuning in. As I said, in the second part of the program, we've got a big conversation Stacy had last month with Chuck Reagan when his revival tour played a one-off doubleheader show in Calgary. In that part of the show, we will be digging into some music from Chuck Reagan, from his solo work, as well as a couple cuts from the latest Hot Water Music album, last year's Exister. All of this interspersed amongst Chuck and Stacy's talk about the revival tour, defying the hierarchy of concert lineups, the balance between Hot Water Music and his solo career, and word of a new album in the works. Starting off the show with a From the Mailbox feature on a band from Budapest, Hungary. This is Bankrupt with Time Waster. This three-piece has been around for 17 years, and over that time have tweaked the style of their songs while maintaining a strong vein of the Ramones-influenced 77 vibe and a melodic punk foundation. Their latest and seventh release, Goodbye Blue Monday, sees the trio experimenting with an element of indie pop, as found on this next cut, Monday Morning.
Okay.
Bankrupt.hu or facebook.com/bankruptrocks to find more from Bankrupt, and you can download the full Goodbye Blue Monday EP for free. Close Encounters. Tukatukas with TV. Tukas is a five-piece from Reunion Island, a small landmass in the Indian Ocean, east of Madagascar. The group formed in early 2008 from the remnants of a few other bands, and also drawing on a couple of the members' experience from playing in bands back in France. Last year, the group released Chalou Tropical, where these songs we are playing today are drawn from. Here's another from Tukas, Nobody is Perfect. Tukatukas are planning some international touring in 2014, including the second quarter of the year in France, and they are actively looking for contacts in America and Canada to bring their sounds to fans on the North American continent. You can connect with them on Facebook by searching Tukatukas. That's T-U-K-A-T-U-K-A-S. Revenge.
I wanna love you, but you don't exist. I wanna love you, but you don't exist. I wanna love you, but you don't exist.
I Wanna Love You. That was Calgary's Matt Blaise from his self-released The Heartbeat album out earlier this year. The Heartbeat is Matt's third release, a follow-up to 2010's Let It Out and his 2008 debut EP, The Matt Blaise Connection. This track here is the single off his new album, Running. Facebook.com/Matt Blaise Music to find his upcoming tour dates, including a show tomorrow in Alberta Beach. Over the last little while, we've accumulated a bunch of great From the Mailbox bands that just didn't really fit into this volume. And I'm thinking we are due for a From the Mailbox special volume in the near future. So keep your ears out for that. But one last cut from Matt before we roll into our feature interview with Chuck Reagan, conducted by Stacey Steele. This is Matt Blaise. Goodbye, sunshine.
Something's happening, the clouds are rolling in, but I'm stretched too thin, I have to sit and wait. I'm afraid that it's too late to change. Now the rain is pouring down, there's a tremble to the ground. In the distance is a sound of trouble on the way. The echoes at the break of day, but I can feel it in my bones. I'm scared of the unknown. And that wind is blowing in a storm. Goodbye sunshine, goodbye light, goodbye time, baby. I can see the storm forming in your eyes. So goodbye sunshine. What you reap is what you sow. So I think you'd better go where you were before to find out who you are. Or can we go back to the start? Too much smoke for me to see. And these mirrors, they deceive. I can't see the forest, follow the trees. And I don't know what I believe, but
2011's Covering Ground, Nothing Left to Prove.
I can walk for miles looking for those eyes to see the light I need before the darkness comes sealing up my fate. And listen close for the ringing tone, and true to it I'll be. And take the road that was cut for you and me. I couldn't wait for the call ever since you were all and everything to break me from my sleep. Well, silence took me fierce and blinding shadows became one. I found the floor with the broken boards and the grist for the mill gone. With nothing left but a cord to stretch and a word to get home by. Sometimes you reach for the bottle before the sky. Yeah, when we arise to fall in time like governments gone wrong. Reverberate a cut arms to cut and wear out our tongues. I couldn't wait for the call ever since you were all and everything to break me from my sleep. Silence took me fierce and blinding shadows became one. I found the floor with the broken boards and the grist full of milk gold. So tell me, lady, what you say that we liberate some love. I got it on for you and nothing to lose or left to prove this world. Say what you want, I don't mind. Say what you want, I don't mind. Say what you want, I don't mind. Say what you want. Say what you want, I don't mind. Oh, say what you want, I don't mind. Oh, say what you want, I don't mind. Oh, say what you want. Silence took me fierce and shadows became whoa. I found the floor with the broken boards and the grist for the real gold. So tell me, lady, what you say that we liberate some love. I got it all for you and nothing to lose or left to prove this world. I got it all for you and nothing to lose or left.
Welcome to The Grind on Punk Rock Radio. This is Stacey Steele, and today I'm in Calgary speaking with Chuck Reagan. How are you today this evening?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me, Stacey.
Pleasure is all ours. So tell us a little bit about this revival tour. You've been touring throughout late spring and early summer, and I heard you came up just especially into Calgary for these shows. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did. We're in our sixth year of the revival tour, and we just did a full-scale tour early this year, and we wanted to make it to Calgary on that tour, and it just wasn't able to happen. And you know, we had the opportunity to come up and do a one-off, which is it's a lot of work and, you know, coordination to put one together, because we're flying in so many people from all over the country. But it's really nice to be able to visit a town sometimes not on tour. You know, there's a different energy as far as our energy.
It's almost more special.
Yeah, well, we have time, and there's not as much rush, and especially to be here for a few nights. And it's just a really special thing to do. We love this city. I love this city, and I have for years, and I can't get here enough. I love it. And, you know, to be able to come and share the revival. A lot of folks have wanted us to bring it here, and we just haven't had a chance to, and we're doing it. So last night was incredible, and we're going to do it again tonight. So.
Last night, I believe you played with some locals, Misha and the Spanx, and I believe Dan Vacon also came on stage and played with you as well. I wasn't at that show. I'll be at your show this evening, but tell us a little bit about how this sort of came about for you to come up to Canada for these special shows, and how these bands were able to come up with these members.
Yeah, our mate Adam Kreeft, who has booked for years, booked my stuff for years, and is now with agency group. He was a huge help in making this happen, get together in the beginning. And then he got in touch with a lot of folks. Lindsay was one of the persons who suggested, you know, we had different people submit and then different suggestions from other people. Lindsay suggested Misha and Danny, among some other artists, I believe, as well. And, you know, that's always a tough part to kind of whittle, because you, in the end, you still have to whittle it down, you know what I mean? And, you know, as much as we love to include artists from the local community, you inevitably end up excluding artists from the because you're still trying to fit, you know, an event into a three and a half hour block. So unfortunately, we have to draw the line somewhere. So, you know, there's a ton of great artists out there, but having Danny and Misha aboard was a real pleasure. Yeah, a real honor. They're extremely talented and just really, I mean, I don't know them that well at all. You know, I'm just kind of getting to know them now, but just seem like salt of the earth people.
Very good people, absolutely. We've included a lot of different bands and acts that they've been in over the years on The Grind as well.
Cool.
And they are always a pleasure to work with. Very kind people, very, very talented.
Yeah.
From Hot Water Music's Exister, Safety.
Still free to rail if you can find it.
we've recently, fairly recently, completed a tour with Hot Water Music, recorded an album, and after redoing a reunion tour before then. How does it feel to be back on the road again across America and Canada?
Sure, it was great. I mean, the Hot Water stuff was loads of fun. We were out on tour with some of who I believe are some of the greatest bands rolling out there. We were out with the Menzingers, we were out with Lotus Butte, and those guys are just killing it. They're great, great bands, great people. That was loads of fun. That was a great tour. You know, for us, like for the band, it was a lot of fun because we've kind of, since we did the record, we haven't really put any other expectations on anything. Everything that we do it because it works with everyone's schedules and we want to do it. Mm-hmm. And we've never been in that position in our life. And that's a great, it's just a great place to be. You know, it's, you know, to us, we're living the dream, but we're also making it happen on our own. And to us, it just feels like a pinnacle, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like everybody's living easy. I mean, and, you know, to be honest with you, we're all still living hand to mouth. And I mean, that's just the way this business is. I mean, a lot of people get the wrong idea when they see a tour bus or they see your name on a marquee. They don't realize that for most of us, you know, we're in the same bracket as them. You know what I mean? We're just working for a living. Mm-hmm.
How did the artists on this tour that you have performing with you get involved on this project? How did this process all come about?
Tim Berry is a longtime friend and you know, an old, just one of those guys that I mean, I admired, you know, when Hot Water and Avail were in bands years back.
Is that how you met him? Was through the Avail Hot Water Music connection?
Yeah, yeah, sure enough. I used to work in a small pub in Gainesville a long time ago called the Hardback Cafe, and his band Avail would always come through, and that was always a highlight for the whole town. They were just one of those bands that we really connected with far more than most of the punk bands that would come into town. I don't know what it was, but back in those days, Gainesville and Richmond, Virginia were very much very similar, or at least we made them similar, you know. And I don't know if it was just because they were wild and nuts like us, or dirty like us, or just southern. I don't know what it was, but there was definitely a connection, a strong connection. And his band used to come through, and we just, you know, we admired them at a young age, but then we kind of got to know them, hit it off with them. And it was actually Avail who, in many, many ways, taught Hot Water Music how to tour. You know, we were going on tours as it was, but it wasn't until they asked us out on a tour and we went with them. And they're all a little older than us. And, you know, their band was around a little bit longer than us. And like, it was one of those things where we just looked up to them as big brothers.
Yeah,
and
brotherly thing.
Yeah, it really was. And it was just one of those little things where we would sit down and just over a beer or coffee or after the show, just start talking about these little things that makes road life easier. And not only that, but how to actually make a living and not get screwed while you're out on the road. And those days seemed like it was a lot easier to get screwed, you know. Like, it wasn't, you know, people didn't use the same platform in promoting shows or, you know, regulating shows or leveling the playing field, so to speak. So it was one of those things where we'd sit down with them and be like, so how can you tell if the promoter's not getting you, or how do you keep a show from getting canceled, or how do you have clean socks on the road, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's just all these little lessons, you know, that we picked up from them at a young age that really kind of helped us build the foundation that ended up being what we've stood on for our entire life. So, and in a great deal, in a lot of ways, Tim Berry's responsible for a lot of that.
Wishing on the Moon.
6,000 miles from Gainesville to Cali, open road and rocking my soul. I'm here to get it, I won't quit it till I'm rolling up to my door. Got some good times, 10 cylinders of fire and a woman at the end of the road. Oh, chasing down
a dream, running on and clean with a worn out old radio. I'm gonna lay my head on the chest I know. We're gonna find that you were ever sure. Yeah, we'll wash these miles off of us soon. For now, stay between the lines and wish on the moon. Sing along strong to a highway tune. Wrestle my eyes, my mind, my heart for you. Yeah, yeah. Guns rolling off the mouse, running down, chasing the sun. Oh, I'm here to get it, I won't quit it till I'm waking up with the one. Goal of my dreams got me in between the seams, got me right, ready to show. Hold all of my cards, all of my wrongs, all of myself and more. I'm gonna lay my head on the chest I know. Gonna find that you were ever sure. Yeah, we'll wash 6 miles off of the zoom. For now, stay between the lines and wish on the moon. Sing along strong to a highway tune. Wrestle my eyes, my heart for you. Take my
Tim, anyhow, tons of respect for him. He's like a brother to me. And
was he one of the first ones you brought on for this one?
Yeah, he was one of the first ones in 2008 to be on the tour.
Right.
For sure. You know, for this one, booking this tour, it's a bear. Because, I mean, there's hundreds of artists, you know, that I know and love and respect. And
there's been over 100, I was reading up on that. And
we've had
a lot of amazing people come in.
Yeah, a ton.
Revival over the past few years.
Sure enough. I mean, it's always tough to kind of pick them, but I basically just start with one. I just kind of call up a friend or I'm just talking to him and I go, hey, what are you doing in July? And, you know, like, oh, nothing, you know, and then it just carries on from there. So normally it starts out where we kind of confirm one person and then we go, okay, well, let's build it from here.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Malinowski
from Bedouin Sound Club.
From Bedouin, yeah, who I was a big fan of before I ever really knew him. You know, I found Bedouin through Side One Dummy, which is my record label, and or the record label that I'm on, mm-hmm. actually, and found Bedouin through there. And my wife and I used to just blast that music cooking in the kitchen. It was just
so good.
Yeah, it was great stuff. And then I had the pleasure of meeting Jay one year at North by Northeast, and we hit it off there and had just kind of planned to do stuff down the road, and we finally had him out. He did a full-scale European revival tour.
Right.
Just a joy to be on the road with. He's one of a kind. I've never met anyone like him in my life, and he's just always been an inspiration to me, you know. So, you know, I asked him, and he was free, and he agreed to do it. Craig Finn,
The Hold Steady.
From The Hold Steady, yeah. Who is, to us, just one of the best lyricists of our time and just an incredible songwriter. I met Craig through my friend Dave Hawes, who had mentioned, oh, I was talking to Craig about the revival tour. He seems really interested. And I'm, you know, it's Craig Fenn.
Yeah.
I'm like,
okay.
Well, I would be amazing. I ended up meeting him somewhere out there. I can't remember where it was, but Hot Water was on tour with Rise Against and Gaslight. Hold Steady was playing with Dawes in a park right next to the stadium we were playing. I'm on the spot now, but I can't really remember where that was. Somewhere in the Northeast. And I walked over and called him up and said, hey, you know, and we sat down, had a beer after his gig and just hit it off. That was a great experience for me and just invite through the invitation out there then. But that wasn't even for this show. That was just come on up to the revival tour.
Absolutely.
And we've been trying to do that since and get him on, and the schedules just haven't. He hasn't been able to commit. It's a tough thing for some artists, especially high-profile artists like Craig. It's a tough thing to commit to full tours,
yeah.
Especially when I'm booking them sometimes anywhere from 8 months to a year in advance. Mm-hmm. So for him, it was easier to commit to Speak of the Devil. There, he just walked into the elevator. It was easier for him to commit to like a one-off gig, and he was thrilled to do it, and he loved it.
He's performed in Calgary before as well, so.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Another off of Covering Ground, Nomad by Fate.
Tour, why did you name it back then the Revival Tour? Was it reviving yourself out of something different?
Very much so. I mean, this this idea and concept of sharing music is an extremely old idea. This has been around for years and years. This is how communities and families have always shared music, mm-hmm. you know, where...
Bringing people together.
Yeah, well, yeah, and when I say that, just to elaborate on that, when you're kind of doing away with all these interruptions and all these focuses away from what you're actually there to do. For instance, you know, this formula that we've all adapted to for a show. We go out to see a gig and there's doors and then everybody waits around and then there's an opening band and then they do their thing. Sometimes people show up early enough to see them, most of the time they don't. Then the next band goes on, and then another break, and then the next band, another break, and then the headliner, who everybody came to see. And, you know, what we always find is a lot of the times people don't show up to see this opening act that everybody spent all this time and money to get there to play to begin with. Mm-hmm. They're only coming for, you know, one particular act. And what it does to me is it just kind of, in a sense, it ends up building hierarchy, and it builds kind of like, you know, who's who and who's more important than who. And you know, what the Revival Tour does is it completely breaks that formula apart. It just smashes it all together. And what we do is construct an event, a show, where headliners or who's who, it doesn't exist. You never know what you're going to see. The show may start at 9, and if you're there on time, you may see the person that you came to see, or you may see the most popular songwriter on the whole bill playing their hit song first. Mm-hmm. Like, you never know. To me, it keeps us on our toes, it keeps the people on their toes, and it makes it more interesting all around. But most importantly, it completely breaks down that hierarchy and breaks down who should be a headliner and who should be an opener. And it just creates this, a very, you know, open communal feel of sharing music and the way that music was shared in the old days, mm-hmm. when there wasn't any time slots or time frames, and it's like...
It just came up all on together.
Everybody just comes together and just, mm-hmm. you know, lets it rip and has a great time doing it. That energy is really carried over to the people, and the people have then given that back to us, because you're not only bringing, you know, these artists together that normally you would never see together on stage. Like, who knows if it'll ever happen, and realistically, it may very well never happen again, where, you know, Craig and Tim and Jay and myself and Misha and Danny are all on stage together. Mm-hmm. Like, this is happening tonight. Happened last night, it's happening tonight, and could very well never happen again. Mm-hmm. And that's what Revival Tour is. It's, you always get a completely unique lineup and collaboration. Some of it's rehearsed. The majority of it isn't rehearsed.
Mm-hmm. It's very organic that way.
It's extremely organic. And I think that spontaneous, you know, energy really just translates and carries over. And it just makes it more exciting for everybody.
Because you never know what you're going to get.
You don't.
I love it. Speaking of your songs, you've talked about songs being made almost journals for you. So the question is, why chronicle these stories?
I have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that I just, like, I guess I could say it's somewhat of an addiction, but to me it's more of, almost feels more like a duty than, and not like I feel like I have to do it for anybody, or not that I feel like I owe anyone anything.
It's for yourself.
You know, yeah. I mean, to me, it's always been a form of therapy, and, like, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of when I'm, well, I do know, I'm trying to explain it. I don't know how to explain it, I guess. It's like, no matter what I'm doing, if I'm doing something, working on my house, or if I'm, you know, on the road, or I'm doing something, and I hear something, or feel something, or think of something, I feel like I have to get it down just to get it off my chest. And it's one of those things where I can't really get right until I just get it out of me. You know, and then sometimes when that happens, I'll sit down and just write a song. or just write something. Sometimes I'll document something and it'll just sit there for months, or it'll never see the light of day. But I think all the stuff that doesn't make it into songs, all that material is just as important as stuff that does make it into songs.
Debut solo release 2008's Gold Country, The Trench.
Do you find stuff that you wrote a few years ago, does it still bring the same sort of sense of whatever it is for you as an artist?
Absolutely, because I don't know, there's something about the way, for me, the way that I write. I do my best to try and not date things when I write them and try to make it timeless, in a sense, you know, just because that's how I enjoy writing it. But yeah, years later, I may not think of the same exact thing that I was thinking of that inspired that song, but it always carries different meanings kind of come into play, or different inspirations or whatever's going on in my life. You know, somehow I'm able to tie into what those songs are.
Right. It's almost like telling a story but seeing it rather than opening a book and telling someone about it.
Sure.
If I was to read a story as a child and then read it as an adult, it would still bring back those same memories for me and that same sort of feeling. So it's sort of taking that and being okay with it. And no matter how many times you tell it, it's still great. You know what I mean? And you get different reactions, however you may say it or sing it, I guess.
Yeah. So. I mean, my writing is always, like I said earlier, I mean, it's always been a form of therapy. And doing that, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because to do that, I have to be honest with the songs, but by doing that, you're really exposing yourself, and you're wearing your heart on your sleeve. So in a lot of ways, there's not a whole lot of privacy. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, well, here it is. You know, this is all I got. But the benefit, I guess, for me in singing songs years later, I guess I could say that I've never thought about, okay, I need to have a theme, or this is what I'm writing. I just write how I write. But I've noticed, you know, when I look back at all the songs, if I were to have like kind of a theme or a mantra or whatever, it would be a lot of my songs always tend to come back to having a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, like kind of carrying on and just, you know, picking yourself up and doing the best you can with what you've been served in your life. And to me, I would like to think in my life that mindset and that attitude, that just take no prisoners attitude, hopefully will always be relevant in my life.
So as we spoke earlier, you've hosted over 100 different artists on the tour in the past 6 years or so. How does it feel to have accomplished that whole thing, having all those amazing artists, considering it must not be an easy task to put a tour together like this, as you mentioned? And do you hope to have 100 more hop on the future, on future Revival tours?
Yes. I do hope to have 100 more and more.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming, you know, to kind of look at what we've done and what we've accomplished in the past 6 years. In a lot of ways, again, to be really honest and frank with you, a lot of ways, some days it feels like we're back at square one. In a lot of ways, booking this tour, you are, because if you think about it, it's not like booking a band where you have the same group of people who all live in the same place, who you create this well-oiled machine. This tour is constantly changing, constantly evolving, and the cast and the showcase is constantly revolving. So it's like starting over every time. And that's been a really difficult task to always be on top of, because you have to be way ahead of the game. You have to be way ahead of in booking things and scheduling, and that's never easy. But I haven't done this alone. You know, my wife Jill has been a massive, just, you know, rock in holding all this together, you know. And she always has been, and continues to be today. And then around us, we've always had, you know, managers and agents and just supporters and promoters and communities who believe in what we're doing. Even though it is really tough on our end, it makes it a hell of a lot easier when you're working with people who care about what you're doing. And you work with people who care about, like, bringing quality shows and quality music and songwriting to their town. That makes it a hell of a lot easier than if we were just shooting in the dark, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of shows out there like this, and being a completely unique showcase and always changing and always exciting, there's a demand for it, and people love it, and we love it.
And it's something different every single night.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it, bringing a few locals in with what you do.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
For sure. And the tours will always change, so.
Do you think you would ever do it just on your own, doing your own solo thing?
Oh, I
just
do.
Just by yourself?
I do. And, you know, next year, I'm actually working on a new record. Right now, I'm writing a new record for Side One Dummy.
Nice.
And we plan on putting that out early next year. Mm-hmm. When that comes out, I'll probably be doing a lot of just headlining gigs, you know, going out on my own or with a couple bands. Mm-hmm. Who knows, you know. But if I'm alive and well, I can tell you I'll most certainly be back in Calgary.
Oh, I can't wait. Very excited for that. Do you think you're at a point where Hot Water Music has been back for a couple of years? So you guys recently came back. Are you able to have a sense of balance to work both of these projects moving forward, or is it even a goal at this point in time for you right now? Because you are focusing on Revival, of course.
Balance has always been the goal, but balance has also been just a pain in my ass.
Like, you need one to feed the other? And vice versa.
No, not necessarily. When Hot Water went on our hiatus back in 2004, the roles kind of switched. Like, you know, Hot Water was always, in my younger years, I always played music like I'm playing now. Mm-hmm. And recorded, but it was never a focus. Hot Water was the band, and that was the driving force. Mm-hmm. And then when we went on a hiatus, that switched around. The guys started the draft, and Hot Water became back burner, and my music kind of, you know, was in the forefront. And,
right.
And then the Revival tour started happening, and that just became what I do. And that's what I'll, you know, I love, you know, Hot Water. I love the band. I love the guys. We all love each other like brothers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we grew up together in that band. And I would love to say that, you know, Hot Water will be playing a show 15 years from now. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. You know, we definitely probably won't move around like we did 15 years ago or even now. But the point is, like, I would love to see the longevity of that band. But it's not, you know, what I love to do is this I love music in general, and I've always felt like having the opportunity to play hot water shows and my own stuff is kind of the best of both worlds to me. But it has been extremely brutal trying to carry a balance in doing both.
Yeah.
I agreed to do a ton of the hot water stuff a couple years ago. In a lot of ways, I think I bit off a lot more than I could chew, you know. I did my best to pull it off. I think we did a great record, and I think we did some great tours, but it's been pretty brutal. But now we're at a point where, you know, hot water's kind of, we're not going to be doing much. We're just going to be popping in here and there, you know. I mean, everybody knows me as a road dog, and I mean, it may be hard to kind of believe for a lot of people, but I don't like touring that much.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Like, I love to be home with my dogs, I love to fish, I love to, you know, work in the garden and be with my wife and cook, and those things are hard to do when you're on the road 10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
Another newer song from Hot Water Music, No End Left in Sight.
Recently that you had your friend Chris Thorne from Blind Melon, who also produced your last album, do a little pre-pro on some of the things you've been working on.
Yeah.
Do you mind just sort of telling us a little bit briefly about that?
Yeah, I had him up to my place, and he's a good friend, which is crazy to just hear come out of my mouth, because I remember seeing Blind Melon in the late 90s, you know, as a kid, and it's just wild to be, you know, have him at my home and, you know, like working together and you know, playing music together. And he's a brilliant player, and he's a fantastic engineer, producer. He's got great ideas. But we just had him up, and what I needed to do was kind of just weed through, like I was saying earlier, when something kind of hits me, I have to lay it down and I have to document it. Sometimes it gets finished. Most of the time it doesn't. It'll just be bits and pieces. So what I end up with is just piles of recordings, demos, pages, paragraphs, sentences, or, you know, what have you, of lyrics and ideas and this and that. And they're just everywhere. I have them in my office. I got them in the piano bench. I got them in a guitar case, on my phone, on my laptop, on this computer, on that. You know, they're just scattered. So I had him up, and what I did was kind of compile all these songs and song ideas together to weed through. And I think we started with, I want to say, like 45 or something, and somewhere between 40 and 45 directions, song ideas, and narrowed that down to around 25, and then we cut that down to, we just started whittling away at everything.
Nice.
And then brought it down to, I think, somewhere around 20, so, and we're still going to keep chiseling away at it till it feels good, you know.
I'm excited to see what sort of comes from that. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I will tell you, you know, the people that we're planning on having play on the record, if it all goes planned, mm-hmm. I'm really excited in the direction. You know, it's a lot of along the same lines of what I've been doing, but this is the first time we've been more together about it. Mm-hmm. Normally I'll run into the studio and I lay down what I have, and then people add people on top of mm-hmm. it. This time I'm bringing the group together. I'm doing it as a full band. Mm-hmm. Dave Hidalgo from Social Distortions playing drums. Todd Bean from Pedal Steel for Lucero. He also plays in Glossary. He's playing pedal steel. Christopher Thorne and Blind Melon's on it. John Gaunt and Joe Ginsberg, my guys, of course. And who knows, we have a couple other people in mind that I'm not at liberty to discuss yet, that may work out, you know, we'll see.
We'll be for a future interview.
Yeah. But it's gonna be pretty epic for us, you know, so that's the goal, right? Whether the people dig it or not, you can't ever care about that. That's never even a thought to us. What's important to us is to, you know, raise the bar for ourselves, to kick our own ass, to do something better, mm-hmm. you know, than we did last time,
mm-hmm.
you know, to give ourselves those chills and those eargasms and like...
Not be afraid to take that challenge and take it that step up and see what comes of it, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about life and moving forward, I guess, so...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you this afternoon, Chuck. I really appreciate your time. And is there anything else that you would like to add to the end of our interview?
Yeah, and I just want to thank everybody, you know, in the surrounding areas for all the support and all the just the gracious, positive attitude that people have given me and the people that I play with over the years. It really means more than I could ever say in any interview or any show with all the time in the world.
Yeah.
It's changed my life mm-hmm. forever. And I know that Calgary is, and some of the surrounding communities have taken a massive hit recently with the floods. Mm-hmm. And I do know that a lot of the times it takes disasters and tragedies and heartbreak to sometimes pull communities together, and just in the short time that I've been here this weekend,
seeing the sense of community with all of us coming together,
and
no matter what,
speaking to a lot of people, it seems like that's exactly what's happening. And you know, for that, you know, my heart goes out and my hats are off, you know, to everybody who has, you know, endured. And I'm sorry for, you know, the folks who have had loss and, you know, had to, you know, hit the reset button and, you know, start over. But if you don't know, you know already, there's people around you who are willing to help out and just be strong for all of us, and at times when we can't be strong for ourselves. So, you know, I wish everybody the best, and I'm honored to have the opportunity to be taken into your community, and if I can continue giving back some, you know, music that you guys love, I'll do it as long as I'm able to. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
seems we're okay. That's it for this one. Catch you guys on the next. Take it easy.
Coffee!